With my grip failing, I raised my demigauntlet and shot a couple blasts of transference mana into Derek's side. They failed to carry him off his feet like they would have with anyone else I'd hit, but each hit shook him and distracted him, while Jin managed to slip him into a chokehold. And while we struggled, I heard Sarah incant with crystalline clarity. "Serpent of the deepest depths, mother of a thousand spawn, power beyond mortal grasp, I call upon our bond. My strength to yours is nothing, but my soul to yours demands. Fulfill the oath we made as one, and come to my command. Seiryu, I summon you!" The entire chamber vibrated. The room flooded with the power of air and ice, and at Sarah's command, Seiryu, the god serpent, her final summoned monster, appeared. It was a rampart of glistening scales of the brightest blue, its coiled form filling nearly every available inch of the chamber. It was not the full size I had seen before. Even with her enhanced mana, Sarah could not have hoped to summon Seiryu at its full strength. But this, in Seiryu's presence, I could do nothing but stare. Even just the aura around it was oppressive, overwhelming, and stark blue. Sapphire. Derek, it seemed, was less impressed. He jabbed an elbow backward, and as Jin staggered, he spun and struck Jin across the face. Jin fell backward, collapsing on the stairs, and Sarah, coughing, fell from the sky. Seiryu moved ever so slightly as Sarah fell, catching her atop its serpentine head. She landed hard, coughing again, but righted herself. Even from a distance, I could see that the glow in her eyes was fading. "Seiryu!" She pointed a hand at Derek. "Freeze that man!" And with that, she collapsed against the serpent's head. Derek drew his second sword, facing the god beast head-on with a look of grim determination. Seiryu took a deep breath, and realizing what was about to happen, I pushed myself off the stairway. I hit the floor just before Seiryu exhaled. My back screamed in agony, but the ring flared to keep me conscious. The blast of permafrost from Seiryu's jaws spread across a quarter of the room. The soul pillar that was caught in the blast cracked and fractured, and even from the floor I felt a numbness sweep across my entire body. My barrier flickered into place, then cracked completely apart as the ice continued to slowly spread across the room. And the breath was still going, the ice still spreading. In a moment of clarity, I managed to reach into my backpack and pull out the cloak, awkwardly dragging it over the top of my body before the next pulse of cold washed over me. My legs, fortunately, were already so numb from pain that I barely felt them freeze. The cloak's magic offered precious little protection, but it was enough to keep me conscious through the blast. As the cold gradually seeped away, I realized that I might have been the only one still awake and aware. Aside from the giant god beast, of course. I carefully extracted myself from the cloak, dragging it over my legs and feeling it begin to melt the thin layer of ice away. Sarah had slipped off the creature's head and fallen to the floor. Derek was still standing, frozen inside a massive block of ice that enveloped nearly that entire quarter of the chamber. Within the clear ice, I could still see his flaming sword burning. I could still see his emerald aura burning bright, and I could see the ice around beginning to shiver and crack. "You have to be kidding me!" Shivering, I turned my head toward Seiryu.
"Seiryu, hi!"
The vast god beast turned its head toward me, eyes narrowing.
"I'm Corrin, your summoner's brother, and ally, just to be clear. Since she's out cold, I'd hope you'd be willing to help me."
"State your will, brother of my summoner."
The chamber shuddered as the god beast spoke, and I trembled along with it.
"That guy she asked you to freeze is actually one of our friends, and he's being controlled by the ring on his right hand. Any chance you could remove it and free him?"
"I can sense the ring, but it is too small. You must remove it. I will clear the necessary ice."
A moment later, I was floating toward the frozen section of the room, and a section of ice began to visibly melt away. That meant that the ice around Derek was cracking faster, too. Sayreu levitated me right next to Derek's hand. He tried to twist it free to take a swing, but for once, I was faster. I reached out and yanked the ring off Derek's hand. Derek shivered, and his emerald aura flared out. The ice around him cracked and shattered, and, now cleared from the ice, he turned his head toward me.
Thanks.
And with that, his aura vanished, and he fell flat on his face. I didn't even try to catch him. I was too startled. With that resolved, I turned toward Sayreu.
Thank you, truly, Great One. I don't suppose you could summon Katashi to help us sort this situation out.
No, that is not among my abilities.
I nodded. Sarah, your summoner, is she okay? Can you heal her?
Her condition worsens every moment I remain here.
The creature's face twisted into something that I assumed had to be a frown.
I will grant her a fraction of my strength to sustain her, and then I must go.
I nodded.
Thank you, Great One!
The god beast's eyes met mine.
Do not thank me. It has been centuries since a summoner as weak as she was brave enough to approach me. I preserve my own.
With that, the beast turned its gaze towards Sarah, and then, with an almost loving motion, it nudged her with its nose and breathed outward again. There was no feeling of cold this time. From my position, I could feel only a surge of energy, almost electrical in the air. I saw Sarah, still prone on the floor, take in a gasp of breath, and then shiver for an instant before going still.
It is done.
Sayreu took one final glance in my direction, dipped its head in something resembling a nod, and then vanished into nothing. And finally, I felt like I could breathe again. The first thing I did was crawl over to where I dropped my cloak when Sayreu had levitated me. Then, with my arms sore from effort, I crawled over to Sarah and draped the cloak over her.
It's finally over,
I mumbled, carefully pulling fragments of ice out of Sarah's hair.
It is.
Jin's voice. He stood beside Vera, shaking his head. I was glad to see that he was looking better. He'd wiped the blood off his nose, and though he looked a little shaky, he didn't seem to have any other obvious injuries. He turned his head toward me, smiling sadly.
I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to make that date for the winter ball, Corin.
And then, Jin fired two bullets into Vera's back. Chapter 23 Finishing Moves. I leveled my gauntlet at Jin and fired a blast of transference mana immediately, but he just stepped out of the way and shook his head.
I really am sorry about this.
He turned his gun back to her and pulled the trigger again, only to hear a click. With a shrug, he discarded the empty gun and drew a dagger from inside his coat.
I didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what was happening. So I fought. I fired again, this time managing to graze his shoulder and knock him back a few steps.
Irritating, he said. But you can't stop me. If she's not already dead, I'll finish it soon. Don't worry. I have no interest in hurting you.
What are you doing? Stop!
I tried my legs again. The ring had been doing great work. I made it to a half-standing position before my legs collapsed under me again. Jin sighed.
Just stay down, Corin. It's nothing personal, but she's a threat.
I trembled. Not with cold this time, but with rage.
A threat? She's unconscious, Jin!
Jin took a step closer to her, and I fired again. He deflected the shot with his dagger, but the force of the impact nearly forced him to drop it. Jin shook his head at me.
Not an immediate threat. A long-term threat. I can't allow you to hand her over to Katashi. Not after everything we've just learned. Not after everything she's done.
Okay, I can understand having moral concerns about making god beasts, but this is not the way—
It's not about that, Corin,
Jin sighed.
It's about protecting my own people.
We stopped Orden already, Jin. There's no need to worry about her tricking Delanos into a war.
He closed his eyes.
That was never the concern, Corin.
What are you talking about?
With a sigh, he reopened his eyes.
I'm not from Delanos. I'm from East Edria.
I clenched my hands into fists.
You. You're the Edrian spy that everyone has been so worried about? Jin chuckled. I thought your mind would jump that way. That's why I never told you. Everyone from Edria must be a spy or a traitor. No, Corrin, I'm not a spy. I'm just a student who happened to be born in East Edria. He shook his head, giving me a sad smile. You want to know why I never told you I'm from Edria? Because there's nothing but hatred toward Edria here. Never mind that I'm from the part that was conquered in the same war that Velia is always talking about. I couldn't argue with that. Not really. If he told me he was from Edria, even East Edria, there was no way I wouldn't have associated him with the 6 years' war. I wasn't above judging people by their place of birth as much as I wanted to be. I would have to be better in the future. I shook my head. You gave Daylan as your last name, though. My last name is Daylan, Corrin. You remember the story from class about the Unbroken Queen? My family were among her retainers. Where I come from, everyone in service to a family uses their family name. Even when the queen finally perished, we kept the name. I nodded. I remember the story. That still doesn't explain what you're doing here, though. There is no conspiracy, Corrin. I'm just a transfer student. I never showed you my attunement because I'm a mesmer. That's an Edrian attunement. I'm Sunstone because we take our tests at a younger age. I'm not an assassin. I'm not even that much of a patriot, truth be told. But when I hear people are making artificial attuned to use as weapons against my home, I pay attention. Only for defense, I tried, but the line sounded weak even to me. Jin tightened his hand into a fist. Right, right. I'm sure they'd never realize that they had enough weapons on leashes to try them out. Maybe just wipe a small city off the map to scare Edria a little? You know, as a defensive measure? With acceptable civilian losses? It's not like they'd be Valian citizens. I clenched my jaw. Maybe you're right. Maybe someone else would use an artificial attuned like that. But you've seen Vera. You saw her with Echion. She treated him like a brother, not a weapon. She's one of the ones that would try to stop this kind of madness. He shrugged. Might be true, but right now, my best bet here is to make sure she never makes it to Katashi, so that he launches the attack that he promised you, and maybe, just maybe, he'll be thorough enough to eradicate the monsters on your council that were pulling the strings on this whole plan. I narrowed my eyes. And the people who live near the tower? Our civilians? Katashi said he was going to send Seiryu next time, Jin. The real Seiryu. Not a manifestation like Sarah made. A fully grown god beast unleashed with the purpose of destruction. That's exactly the type of thing you're trying to stop. Jin's jaw tightened, and he turned his head to the side, unwilling to meet my gaze. You're right. I'm behaving just like Ordin in a sense. I know that. I value my home over yours. And if need be, I'm willing to sacrifice your home in order to save mine. Maybe that makes me just as much of a monster as the people I'm fighting. Maybe it's just human nature. I won't accept that. I pushed my hands against the ground. I clenched my jaw, and with trembling legs, I stood. I flexed my legs experimentally. I felt a momentary surge of pain in the right one, but it held. I won't accept that either of our nations has to suffer a tragedy, and I will find a way of stopping it, even if that means stopping you. Jin stepped into a dueling stance, knife pointed toward me. Even if you have to kill me? I clenched my hands into fists. I'd really rather avoid that, but I'll do what I have to do to stop a slaughter. Jin laughed. You've got more spirit than sense, but that's something I like about you. Unfortunately, Vera is going to bleed out here, and she's not conscious. You can't save her even with the ring. I nodded. Another problem I'll solve after I'm done with you. I took a step forward tentatively, then another. I was unarmed, but I led with my right hand. It was tingling from using the gauntlet as much as I had, but I still had a fair bit of mana left. Not every problem is solvable with the tools you have on hand. Jin stepped closer, almost in knife reach. We began to circle each other. Then, I replied, I'll make more tools. I pointed my hand at him and fired. Jin dodged to the side, just as I'd expected, and attempted a shallow jab. I deflected it with the gauntlet. We circled each other further, my legs trembling with the effort, moments from failing.
He must have seen the weakness. He stepped forward and tried to trip me. I let him. Staying standing had never been a viable part of the plan, not with the condition I was in. Instead, when he stepped in, so did I. I grabbed his arms and dragged him right down onto the floor with me. We hit the ground hard. Unfortunately, he was on top. Fortunately, I still had a good grip on his arms, and they were halfway pinned beneath me. He started maneuvering immediately, trying to get his knife into a striking position. I slammed my forehead into his already injured nose. Jin recoiled, but his shroud stopped most of the damage, and I was dazed. He pulled his arms free of my weakened grasp and jammed his dagger into my left arm. I screamed, flailing my right arm free, and tried to reach for something vulnerable. We were pressed too close together for me to hit his face, but that wasn't what I was aiming for. I grabbed the phoenix sigil pinned to his chest, felt the mana inside, still almost full, and took a deep breath, and then I flooded the sigil with mana, far, far too fast. Jin tried to pull away, but I had a good grip, and he was far too late. The sigil exploded in my hand. Metal shrapnel and mana lanced out in both directions, into my gloved hand and into Jin's chest. The feeling of metal splinters in my hand was a new kind of pain, one that even the ring couldn't banish immediately. But as Jin fell backward, I knew it had hit him a lot harder. The sigil was too close to his skin for his shroud to do anything to protect him, and his tunic didn't provide nearly as much protection as a thick leather gauntlet did. He'd had the pin over his right breast. I'd hoped that wasn't close enough to pierce his heart. Jin screamed as he fell off of me, clutching at his chest. I shivered on the ground, in too much pain to do much of anything. Neither of us noticed Vaniv, still bleeding profusely from the gash across his entire chest, one wing entirely missing and half of his body still enshrouded in ice, until he lifted Jin with a single stone hand and punched him in the face. Jin fell unconscious to the ground. Vaniv looked down at me, shook his head, and pulled the dagger out of my arm. No mana left. Been like holding my breath just to keep myself here this long. It's up to you now. And with that, Vaniv vanished. I was too preoccupied with pain to do anything for several moments. The ring continued to work, but it was clearly overtaxed. It wasn't doing a thing for the knife wound, and very little for the shrapnel. My first action was to try to dig as much of the shrapnel out of my hand as I could. With that done, those wounds sealed quickly. I was pretty sure I still had some metal fragments in my skin, but I couldn't reach them all with the glove on, and I was running out of time. With my strength failing, I limped toward Vera's fallen body, and I opened my pouch. She was unconscious and bleeding bad. And as Jin had claimed, my ring couldn't help her, not in that state. I emptied out my bags, first the one on my waist, then my backpack, and from there, I got to work. I started with the rock. Then, with my etching tool, I carved nearly identical runes to the ones that had been found in the ring, but I omitted the trigger rune, the one that required the user to send a bit of mana into it to turn the device on. I replaced it with a different trigger rune, one from the bell, which caused it to activate when someone shook it if sufficient gray mana was inside. The ringing part wasn't relevant, it was just detecting movement. I had the ability to power most of the runes myself, the mental runes to detect her condition and find her injuries, the gray mana necessary to activate it, and the transference mana necessary to push all my mana into those runes. I didn't have the most critical type, life mana, to cause the actual healing. But I did have 3 beautiful class 3 life gems from a trio of slimes. It was experimental. I'd never seen a healing item that activated when shook. I didn't know if it would work, and if it did, I knew there was a chance that triggering it would detect me as the injured party if I just shook it over her. So, with the utmost care, I charged all of the runes, set the now enchanted rock on top of Vera's back, and shook her body. I turned on my attunement. It was working. Golden life energy was flowing from the rock into her back, and then across it, finding the bullet wounds. I didn't know if it would expel the bullets, but if nothing else, it seemed to be repairing some of the damage. I didn't have the medical expertise to know if it would have been wise to try to dig in for the bullets with some kind of implement, so I didn't try. I still had every confidence the situation could get worse at any time. And so, the next thing I did was pick up the Jaden box and my flask of endless water. With them in hand, I pushed my way over to the closest bloodstain I could find. I drizzled water onto the blood, and then used my hand to sweep as much of the mix as I could into the box. I closed the lid of the box. "Summon Katashi!" Nothing happened. So I swept the liquid out, found another spot, and swept that in. Closing my eyes, I tried again. "Summon Katashi!" I felt an overwhelming burst of pressure and fell to my knees. When I opened my eyes, Katashi was floating above me. He turned his gaze downward, his eyes narrowing as he assessed my condition.
"Gorin Cadence, you would be wise to speak your reason for this insolence."
I pointed a hand toward Vera's fallen body.
"I brought Vera here like you asked, but she's badly hurt, and I don't know if my item will be enough to save her."
Katashi looked at Vera, then back to me.
"How did this come to be?"
Yeah, you're not going to like that. You were absolutely right. There were people in the government working to keep both Vera and Tenjin's locations concealed. One of them was Professor Orden." I pointed at her body. "She acted like she was helping us, then stabbed us in the back halfway through. As you can see, we barely survived the confrontation."
Katashi nodded his head.
"Then given the circumstances, I will forgive your insolence in summoning me. Though I am curious as to how you managed such a feat. You are no summoner, and even if you were, my mark on your hand should not have been a sufficient bond."
I opened my mouth to speak, but his eyes turned to the box in my hands, and he spoke again.
"The Jaden box. I had thought it lost forever. We will speak of this more when I have assured that Vera will survive."
"If it isn't too much to ask, can you please heal my companions as well? Sarah and Derek, at least, they meant no harm. And Jin, well..."
I turned my head in his direction. Jin was gone.
I turned on my attunement immediately, searching for him. If he was invisible, I could probably catch a hint of his aura. But no. He was completely gone.
And so was the return bell. I'd never sealed this room against teleportation, and I'd made him an item that dampened sound. I grit my teeth.
"Never mind, Jin. Can you please help Sarah and Derek as well?"
"Any who were harmed in the service of this task that I gave to you will be healed,"
Katashi pronounced. He floated over to Vera first, landing and kneeling down. He stared at my rock for a minute curiously, reached down, then seemed to change his mind and left it there. Even gods can't comprehend my enchanting skills. I laughed in spite of myself, feeling a fresh surge of pain. Katashi, fortunately, ignored my outburst. He pressed his hands against Vera's back. A surge of blue energy enveloped her. I watched as bullets appeared in the air above her. He teleported them out. In another moment, they fell and he continued to pour mana into her. Vera stirred, not waking, but her breathing seemed to ease. Katashi rose and floated to Derek next. It wouldn't have been my choice, but I didn't complain. He knelt and put a hand on Derek's shoulder.
"This one does not require my help. He is simply fatigued and frostbitten. He is strong. He will recover on his own."
I nodded. Katashi landed next to Sarah, putting a hand on her back, and he frowned.
"This... she has been deeply scarred from the overuse of mana."
Katashi turned his head toward me, shaking it slightly.
"I can treat her pain and save her life, but I cannot heal her entirely. Perhaps my sister could, but this is beyond my abilities. I will do what I can."
A blue glow washed over Sarah. She sighed, seemed to relax, but I winced at Katashi's words. He turned toward me.
"It is not often that I am incapable of granting a request to one who has done me a service, but her wounds are deep. She may never speak properly again. When this is concluded, I will see to it that she receives recompense for her sacrifice."
I considered his words.
"You mentioned a sister that might be able to help. Can you tell me which one you spoke of?"
The visage nodded.
"If it is healing for your sister you seek, Ferris may be able to aid you."
I nodded. Ferris was the visage of creation. It made sense that she would be even more potent as a healer than other visages.
Thank you, visage.
The visage stood up to his full height, looming over me once again.
You have completed your duty in bringing Vera to me, but my brother remains missing. You claim that this Ordin was involved in keeping him from me. I will now find the truth of your words.
Katashi floated over to where Ordin had fallen. This time, he did not kneel to treat her wounds. He raised a hand, and she floated, suspended in the air, still unconscious. Katashi placed a hand to her forehead, and his eyes narrowed.
Your memories to mine.
A crackling mana surrounded them both as my eyes widened at the implications of what he was doing. Katashi pulled his hand back. Ordin crumpled unceremoniously back onto the stairs. He turned his head to me.
It is true. She betrayed my brother and lured him into a trap, but she is not the only guilty one. Vera, too, must be judged for her involvement.
That sounded pretty rough. Looking at Ordin's fallen body, I wasn't even sure if she was alive. I stepped closer to Katashi, looking up. Go easy on Vera, please. She came here willingly and fought hard to meet with you. Katashi lowered his gaze to meet mine.
I will take your suggestion into consideration.
I winced at his tone. Thank you. And then I got out of his way. He appeared next to Vera, kneeling down and putting his hand on her head.
Your memories to mine.
Vera shivered on the ground, but I watched carefully as she was continuing to breathe. I didn't know what I would have done if she had stopped breathing, but I had a feeling it would have been something unwise. Katashi turned to me, standing up straight and floating back up a few inches.
Vera is not directly responsible for my brother's disappearance. She was a piece moved by another hand. She still will answer for her role, but I will spare her life.
I appreciate your mercy, visage.
Katashi vanished and reappeared directly in front of me, looming over me. The pressure from his aura forced me down to my knees.
There is another question to be settled, however.
He put a hand against my forehead.
Tell me honestly, Corin Cadence, were you involved in my brother's disappearance in any way?
I froze at his touch. Not that I am aware of, visage, though it would seem I may have been manipulated in the aftermath.
Yes,
he replied.
I sense the truth of your words. There is no question of your innocence. It would seem that you were unaware of your brother's actions.
I trembled as he withdrew his hands. My brother?
In Lyris Ordin's memories, I have discovered her fellow conspirators. Among them is one of your house, Tristan Cadence.
Tristan was alive. I took a moment to process that. Tristan was alive, and he'd been working with Ordin. I'd often been accused of talking too much, but in that moment, I had no idea what to say.
I can honestly say, visage, that I had no idea that Tristan Cadence was even alive. I had hoped that he was, but not like this.
I will be forced to seek your brother for further judgment. Your cooperation will not reflect on his punishment.
I didn't know what to say to that. I just stood there and shook.
Remove your glove.
I numbly followed his instructions, wincing at the muted pain from the remaining shards in my hand. He took my hand, sending a surge of mana into it.
I, Katashi, visage of Selys, judge that you have fulfilled your obligation to me. Let this mark become one of glory, no longer of judgment.
The mark on my hand shifted, both in visible shape and, I could sense, of the type and quantity of mana within. In fact, I was reasonably confident he'd just given me a new attunement. I couldn't bring myself to care.
With what I have learned, I must shut the tower. Vera and Lyris Ordin will remain here. I will send you and your other companions away from here.
I nodded without replying. My mind was swimming. Tristan was working with Ordin. How was that possible? Had he never failed the test? Had he just decided not to come home? My hands clenched and unclenched. I had so many questions.
Gather your things and go stand with your sister.
I quickly complied, sheathing both of my swords and gathering everything I could in my bags, including the Jaden box. If he wasn't going to complain about me keeping it, I was keeping it. I took the Rock of Regeneration, too. With Katashi's healing, Vera's wounds had completely closed. She didn't need it. Sarah and I, on the other hand, were both still in terrible shape, and I knew regeneration had a better chance of healing permanent and near-permanent injuries than instant healing did. Katashi waved a hand. Derek's body levitated and settled next to the two of us.
Before we go, will we be safe?
Orden implied that we were opposing highly placed people in our government. Katashi nodded.
A valid concern. I will send you to someone powerful enough to protect you. Tell him that this is what he owes me. He will understand what I mean.
I nodded. Thank you. And one last thing. You said you would give my sister a boon for helping you, since you couldn't heal her. Katashi floated over to us. I took a step back as he drew his sword of blue crystal. He flipped it around, holding it by the blade and extending it toward me.
This is Saris, the Song of Harmony, forged from the heart of a long-broken world. It has served me for many centuries as a tool of protection and judgment. It will now sing for Sarah Cadence, so long as her mortal heart continues to beat. After that, it will return to me, as it always has.
The visage was giving Sarah his sword. Patrick was going to turn into some kind of jealousy elemental when he found out about this. I knelt and accepted the sword with reverence.
Thank you, Visage. I am confident she will be pleased by this generous gift.
Katashi gave me a curt nod.
This is as it should be. Now you must go.
Thank you, Visage.
Katashi waved his hand in a cutting motion, and my surroundings changed. We appeared next to a campfire. Sarah and Derek were still unconscious, so they just sort of flopped on the ground. I was still kneeling with Katashi's sword held awkwardly outward. This was probably somewhat alarming to the lone figure who had been sitting on the forest floor eating a chicken leg. For that reason, I probably shouldn't have been surprised when he was on his feet in an instant, and suddenly he was armed and I wasn't. Saris landed blade first in a nearby tree, and Karas Salirian stood over me, a glimmering silver blade in his hands. Given the speed with which he moved, I was unclear on whether or not he'd just disarmed me with his sword or with the chicken leg. His eyes narrowed. I froze. He tilted his head to the side.
Wait, aren't you Corin Cadence?
I nodded.
Yes.
And then he laughed, his sword disappearing back into the scabbard at his side.
Oh, Corin, sorry I didn't recognize you immediately. Don't sneak up on me like that. What are you doing here?
I let out a sigh.
That is, I'm afraid, something of a long story.
Epilogue. Cadence. I told Karis a long story. Specifically, I told him almost everything that had happened in the last several months. I didn't mention anything about the memory crystal I'd watched with him fighting against the Council of Lords. I did not want him to know that my mother was one of the people he'd been fighting. If Katashi was assigning Karis to watch over me, I wanted to make sure I kept him on my good side. I had no idea how he'd react to the news that she'd been one of the ones attempting to arrest him, but I couldn't imagine it would be a positive response. If I survived long enough, I'd have to get a letter to my mother to explain what I knew about the situation. Talking to her in person would be even better if I could arrange it. We had a lot to discuss. Karis rubbed his forehead in the aftermath of hearing my tale. Without the mask, he was a surprisingly normal-looking guy.
Sounds like you've had a rough few weeks. Want something to eat?
You know what? Yeah, I could eat. Sarah and Derek were both still unconscious. I'd put the Rock of Regeneration on Sarah's stomach and activated it before getting into my story, and I could tell it was still working on her, but I didn't know if it would be sufficient to help her lungs. Karis offered me bread, cheese, and chicken, which I accepted gratefully. We ate in quiet for a while. He seemed content to focus on the food. After finishing my meal, I shook my head and tried to focus. So, where are we?
We're near the Edrian border. I've been out here for weeks, patrolling for anyone or anything particularly dangerous trying to slip through.
Karras shook his head.
Was doing it as a favor for Katashi. I'm glad you showed up, since it sounds like I've been wasting my time.
I nodded. Yeah, unless Jin happens to come by this direction.
Karras shook his head. Not likely. From what you told me, he didn't do anything that's likely to set off alarms for the local government. You're one of the only ones who walked out of that room with any information on what he did. He might have just gone back to the school. No one else would know the difference.
I felt a cutting pain in my chest when I thought about Jin. My fists clenched. I'd almost killed him. Jin, who'd exaggerated his mysteriousness to fit in. Jin, who'd worn a disguise to steal from me, then asked me to a ball. He'd probably saved my life at least once, too. Had I been right to stand in his way? I'd saved Vera, sure, but what would the consequences be for Jin? And what about on a broader level? How was Katashi going to react when he discovered what Ordin and Vera had been up to? I'd been trying to avert a crisis, but the long-term results of my actions were impossible to know. I tried to dismiss that line of thought and focus on the conversation. Even with Ordin and Vera in Katashi's custody, Ordin's compatriots are still going to be doing those experiments. Jin might head back home to report. If he did, he wouldn't go through the wilderness in the middle of nowhere. I'm only here because this is a remote location that I'd tracked some Edrian troops to. Jin doesn't have any reason not to just take a train if he wants to go home. I didn't think there was a train that went all the way into East Edria, but Karras had a point. I took a breath. Then another. I took a moment, just one, and used it to breathe. For the first time in years, I felt lost. Not just because of Jin. I still didn't know what I'd do if I saw him again, but that wasn't even my biggest concern. Tristan was alive, and he'd been working with Ordin. Could Katashi have been wrong? I doubted it. He'd taken that knowledge directly from Ordin's mind. Maybe I should have asked more questions, but I was just too shocked. I turned to Karras, exhausted and fighting a wave of helplessness that tried to wash over me.
What do I do?
The swordsman shrugged.
You push forward. You've had a rough time, sure, but you can't let it break you. You've got some loyal friends. There's no substitute for that.
Sounds like you've still got a couple of them back at the school that are probably worried about you. We should meet up with them and fill them in.
I nodded at that.
You don't have to stay here? Not 1 minute longer than I have to. I was here because Katashi had suspicions about Edrian manipulation and all this. I'm here on his behalf. If I'm supposed to be guarding you now, that's a new and, frankly, far more entertaining way to spend my time.
Wait, so you've been working for Katashi this whole time?
Karras shook his head. Oh, no, nothing like that. You remember that time I was fighting him in the tower? No, clearly I'd forget about something like that. I rolled my eyes.
Karras laughed.
Yeah, that was a good scrap. Been a while since I've had one of those. Anyway, after I frustrated him by not dying for a while, I talked him into a truce. Showed him I wasn't involved in his brother's disappearing and all that. He was still angry at me for helping Vera and Ekion escape, so I agreed to do him a few favors. In exchange, he'd give me what I'd come to the tower for in the first place when I finished.
He just called a fight with a visage a good scrap.
I didn't know if he was bragging or just some kind of foreign god. Possibly both.
What were you there for?
Wanted to meet your goddess. We've got some business to discuss. I think Katashi is still going to make me climb the spires, but hopefully if I get this done, he'll at least write me a letter of introduction or something.
Spires? Plural?
Karras nodded. Pretty sure I need to climb all of them if I want to meet her. Seems a little excessive to me, but at least they're good exercise. And I like the variety of monsters.
I didn't even know what to say to that, so I changed the subject.
I heard that someone from Delenos was trying to arrest you. Did you get that cleared up?
The swordsman winced.
Yeah, Katashi called them off a few weeks ago. I believe they've informed the local government as well, but we'll keep our heads down just in case. That would probably make dealing with my mother somewhat easier, but I decided I'd still try to keep them apart if possible. Assuming she was still on business in Delanos, that would probably be simple enough. I did my best to smile. Glad to hear you got that cleared up. So, when can we head out? First thing in the morning. Your friends aren't in any condition to move, and it's a good 5 miles to the train station. I was not looking forward to that walk. Even now, my legs were barely functional. Right. You wouldn't happen to have extra sleeping gear. Oh, you cold? I've got a bedroll and a blanket you can use. No tent, sorry. I usually go without. I nodded, glancing at my unconscious companions. Karis must have noticed my concern. I wouldn't worry about them. Your cloak should keep Sarah very comfortable. As for the other guy, if he's really a Hardigan, he'll be fine.
You know House Hardigan? I turned my head back to Karis in surprise. Thought you were a foreigner.
Oh, I know House Hardigan quite well. Friend of mine learned quite a bit from Blake Hardigan, in fact. They're pretty prominent where I come from, too.
Huh. I'd always been under the impression that most of our noble houses had come across from the mainland in their entirety during some sort of cataclysmic event, but maybe that wasn't accurate.
Fair enough. Well, good night, then. Karis gave me a smile that seemed very genuine. Friendly, even.
Don't worry about anything. I'll keep watch over the camp. You're safe.
Safe. After the last day, I had a hard time believing that, but I decided to do my best to pretend.
I must have fallen asleep at some point because I woke up abruptly to the sound of clashing steel. It took me a moment to orient myself. I found Derek and Karis staring each other down, blades crossed. I stammered out words.
Whoa, both of you! Please, calm down!
Derek's gaze flicked to me.
This man is a wanted criminal, Karis grunted. I'm cleared of all charges, actually. I'd be glad to explain if you'd lower your weapon.
Not going to do that until I'm convinced we're safe. Corrin, what happened?
I sat up.
It's safe, Derek. Katashi sent us to Karis. We're all on the same side.
Well, more or less, but I'm not going to complicate things further by bringing up the potential complexities of our situation. Derek's eyes narrowed.
You're absolutely certain of this?
Yes, Derek. Believe me, if Karis wanted us dead, he could have easily killed us by now.
I wouldn't be so sure of that.
Derek took a step back, sheathing his weapon.
But if Katashi sent us here, I suppose it's probably safe.
Karis sheathed his own weapon.
I appreciate that you're willing to listen to reason.
He reached out with his hand.
And you're quick with those blades. I wouldn't mind testing your skills at some point under friendlier terms.
Derek hesitated for just a moment before accepting the gesture, grabbing Karis's wrist.
I look forward to it.
With that resolved, I went back to sleep. The walk to the train station was grueling, but not as bad as I'd expected. The ring had done wonders for my injuries overnight. I was still limping, and I had to stop frequently due to tremors in my right leg, but I felt mostly functional. I'd kept the rock with Sarah overnight, hoping it might do a bit to repair the damage to her lungs, but I knew it wasn't likely. Karis used some kind of magnetism magic to pull the remaining metal shards out of my right hand. It was painful for a few moments, but the ring worked quickly to repair the damage. Sarah and Derek were both up and seemingly in good health for the most part. Derek had a killer headache. I offered to loan him the ring for a few minutes to get rid of it. He just looked at me like I was a madman. Given his last experience with magic rings, yeah, maybe that wasn't such a good suggestion. So he just contented himself to complain a little bit here and there. Sarah was in the worst shape. She kept trying to talk, but not a sound issued from her lips. Occasionally, she'd still break into fits of coughing, and we had to stop on 2 occasions when she had trouble catching her breath. When I went to measure the mana in her attunement, Derek and Karis both got a look at her mark.
Never seen anything like it, Derek offered. It's not a standard attunement.
Karis leaned a little closer.
Huh. Haven't seen many Dominion marks with that degree of complexity around here.
I stared at him.
Do you know what it does?
He shook his head.
Sorry. Don't recognize that one. I know some people who might, but they're not here.
He frowned.
Unless Rin is. She'd probably know.
Rin? I asked.
Rin Jaden, the one who made your box. If she's still around here, we could try to track her down. I'm a little worried about her, truth be told. It's not like her to leave her box behind anywhere, for any reason. When that thing recharges in a few months, we might want to try to summon her with it. I nodded absently. Jaden was supposedly hundreds of years dead, but considering who the suggestion was coming from, I decided he probably knew what he was talking about. I liked the idea of meeting Rin Jaden eventually, but for the moment, I had other plans for the box. I pressed the mana watch against Sarah's attunement. It displayed 0 of 0. That was not a good sign at all. I turned to Karis. You wouldn't happen to have any way of fixing mana scarring, would you? He shook his head sadly. Sorry, Corrin. I'm not a healer. I wasn't sure how to phrase my follow-up question, so I just asked. I don't want to be rude, but what are you? Are you another visage? Or a servant of the tyrant in gold? Karis just laughed. Neither of those, I assure you. I'll have to think about the best way to explain. Every time I've tried to tell people around here about my abilities, it's ended poorly. A fair answer, but I still wanted to know more. I had so many questions. I turned back to Sarah, patting her on the shoulder. We'll find a way to get you healed. Sarah nodded back to me. Her eyes were filled with determination. Unfortunately, she did seem to like the new sword. The train ride took about 10 hours. Derek and Karis spent most of that time bantering with each other, and I was pretty sure they went out and had a sparring match on the roof of the train at one point. Sarah and I couldn't talk to each other, but I felt closer to her than I ever had. We sat next to each other, exchanging notes. Fortunately, Karis had paper, and he'd been willing to give it to us for a good cause. Her first note was particularly endearing. Corrin, stop thinking about going after Jin. You have more important things to worry about, like the things that I want. Also, possibly, the friends who didn't betray us. They're somewhat important, too. Sincerely, Sarah. Signing and addressing it was completely unnecessary, given we were right next to each other, but it was so very Sarah that it made me feel better. She was right, of course. It was probably better that I didn't try to find Jin again immediately. The wounds were too fresh for both of us, both metaphorically and literally. There was a reasonable chance he'd want to kill me when we saw each other again, and I couldn't blame him for it. But I wasn't going to blame myself, either. I was going to move forward. It took a while to find Marissa and Patrick. This was because, rather than being in their rooms, they had been waiting outside of the tower for us. When we hadn't made it back the first night, they'd camped out together. Even after all Patrick had done for me over the course of the year, I still didn't know how to respond to displays of loyalty and concern like that. It was so good to see them. They were glad to see me, too, if a little surprised by the company. Surprised and maybe a little alarmed. Karis was wearing his mask again now that we were in town. He got some strange looks, but no one approached us to ask about it. After an aborted attempt to explain everything, Derek pointed out that we should not be discussing everything that had happened in public. He escorted us to one of his homes. It was a small manor, only about a mile away. Apparently it was where he stayed when he was preparing to go on a climbing expedition. And it was, fortunately, already very well magically protected. I inspected the runes on the walls on my way in. Some were familiar, like anti-scrying and anti-teleportation, but others were new. I'd have to write them down later. We sat in an opulent living room while Derek and I explained to everyone what we'd encountered. Karis spent most of the time doing some kind of meditation exercise with his sword, since he'd already heard it all from me. When we finished, Patrick was a combination of excited and incredulous.
So Professor Orden was the traitor?
I sighed. No, Patrick. If you want to get technical, I was probably the closest thing to a traitor. Apparently all this was something our government approved of. Derek raised his hands in a halting gesture.
Whoa, slow down there, Corrin. Orden might have overstated her support of it there. She might have members of the Council of Lords supporting this little endeavor, but certainly not the whole thing. My mother is on the council, and the first she'd heard of this was when I brought it to her attention.
I frowned. How'd you find out about all this anyway? He sighed.
Alora, dear, darling Alora. She told me all about it after she'd helped abduct Tengen and the others. She was so excited. Thought I'd just automatically approve of her idea to kidnap our allies and the visage we worship. How could I have possibly disagreed?
That made sense. He'd mentioned having a fallout with Alora Theus. I'd assumed it was just some kind of petty lover's quarrel. Apparently it was much more serious than I'd given him credit for. And to be fair, maybe Derek himself was a little more serious than I'd realized. I was grateful to have him on my side. If he'd taken Alora's side in this, it would have been a catastrophe. He'd have stopped us from ever getting Vera to the tower.
Think this is a bit much for us students to be dealing with? Marissa tapped her fingers on the edge of her chair. Not to be discounting the help of Milord Hardigan and Milord... what was it? Salus something?
Salarian, Karis corrected. It just means from near the city of Salir.
Oh, got that. Right. Not to be saying you're not important and all, but if they bagged a visage...
Karis came over and sat down on a couch next to me. No offense taken. I mean, I could handle fighting the whole government here in a straight fight.
Derek leaned forward toward Karis.
Do we need to take this to the roof?
Sarah scribbled a note and passed it to me.
I read it and laughed. Sarah would like you to keep it down here. She says she wants to watch.
I waggled my eyebrows in implication. Everyone laughed. It was a good sound. I turned my head. But more seriously, Marissa had a good point. We're going to need more than a handful of people if we all agree we want to do something about this.
Derek turned his head to me. Well, if we're just talking about rescuing Tengen, we'll have Katashi's support. That may come with support from a number of noble families, both locally and in Delanos. If you're talking about stopping people from making artificial attuned, that's much more complex.
I shook my head. I'm not worried about that, so much as saving the people that Ordin kidnapped and trying to make sure that Ordin and her allies didn't destroy our alliance with Kaelford out of greed.
Derek nodded. That's more or less what I've been thinking, too. I'm sure this is a lot for all of you to take in. Don't worry about anything tonight. I'll take care of making sure we're safe.
Patrick frowned.
Will we be able to go back to class tomorrow?
I hadn't even thought about that. It seemed so unimportant compared to everything else going on. It was a valid question, though. We needed to figure out what types of things we were safe to do in general. We needed an overall plan of action on how to proceed. I was just so tired. I couldn't think about it in detail. Not yet. I turned to him. You and Marissa are probably fine. I don't think anyone has any idea of your involvement at this point, aside from Professor Teft.
Derek leaned back in his chair. I don't think Teft was on Ordin's side in this. If he was, Ordin wouldn't have bothered taking me with her to the tower. A reliable ally would have been better than bringing me along and trying to control me.
I folded my arms. Unless she knew you were aware of the situation, and she was planning to get rid of you too.
Derek shook his head. Too much of a risk, even for her. No, if she had another attuned she could have counted on that was of a similar power range to ours, she'd have brought him or her instead.
I considered that. Why didn't she bring Alora then?
Derek rubbed his forehead. Alora's been missing for a couple weeks. I'm not sure where she went. Might be that she's the one guarding the prisoners now. I don't believe what Ordin said about them cooperating for a second.
I nodded in agreement. Yeah, unless her idea of cooperation involves more of those control rings, which it probably does, but I imagine they wouldn't last forever on their own.
She'd probably use self-recharging rings. They could last indefinitely in that case.
Derek sighed.
Can't believe I let her give me a ring.
Karis snickered.
I'm sure a lot of people say that at some point in their lives.
Derek rolled his eyes.
Okay, you don't get to talk anymore. House rules.
Karis quirked a brow.
Then how am I supposed to flirt with you for Miss Cadence's entertainment? Ugh, I'm going upstairs.
Derek pushed himself out of a chair.
Karis stood up too. Is that an invitation? Ugh, no! Stay here! I insist.
We laughed again. Karis sat back down, feigning dejection. I spent the rest of the day telling everyone more about what had led up to this point. We found a valor board eventually. Sarah beat all of us at it, although Karis seemed to be playing towards some kind of goal other than winning that none of the rest of us knew about. Later, I thought to ask both Karis and Derek about the mark on my right hand. It was an attunement.
Not a strange one like Sarah's mark, but neither of them recognized it. Derek offered me some books to read and pointed me to a room where I could study and sleep for the night. He had enough rooms for everyone else to stay there, too. Even Karis decided to stick around. When I finally retired to my bedroom, I pulled out a book, but not the one that Derek had given me to read. It was Trials of Judgment, the book linked to the Voice of the Tower. I had some questions for him. Dear Voice of the Tower, Lyris Orden was responsible for kidnapping Tengen. I'm going to presume you already knew about this from the beginning. I'm also going to assume that you were somehow responsible for how I ended up with the keys necessary to open the prison cells for Vera, Ekion, and Karis, thereby distracting Katashi from his pursuit of the real culprit. I've stopped Orden. Katashi has her. I'd like to give you a chance to explain what you're really up to before I decide if I need to point people in your direction. Corrin. The note might have come across as a bit more vindictive than I had intended, but I felt pretty significantly betrayed. There had been a body outside the jail cells where Vera and the others had been imprisoned. House Cornell would be mourning for the loss of a child. Had that death been the voice's work, too? The reply came more quickly than I'd intended.
Ah, Corrin, I'm so glad you're beginning to catch on. You'll make an excellent whisper of wid when we're done with you. Was I working with Orden? Oh, yes. And against her as well. Lyris never had sufficient foresight, you see. Quite intelligent, yes, but lacking in imagination. Once she'd started on her path, she was incapable of sufficiently adapting to changes in circumstance. Changes like leaving Vera behind when her mission was interrupted. There were far better ways of handling that situation. If she truly needed Vera's knowledge, finding a diviner and Vera to work with them for the creation of a memory crystal would have been vastly simpler. Or, you know, she could have just gone to Kaelford and found any of the dozens of other people who had worked on the project. I'm certain that Vera had some unique insights, but nothing a dozen other analysts couldn't have figured out given time. But alas, Orden lacked the insight to deviate from her original course. She was my teacher, just as she was yours, and I surpassed her, just as you did. And so when she began to take risks with insufficient returns, I began to strike out on my own path. You were an integral part of that, and I thank you for it. I will not denigrate you by calling you a tool or a pawn, more of a junior partner, one who I foresee being capable of great things, eventually. In the meantime, I believe we're both going to be quite busy in the aftermath of all this. I'm very excited to see what happens next. And I'll be especially interested in seeing your next move, little brother. Survive, and you'll soon see mine. Tristan Cadence.
You have been listening to Sufficiently Advanced Magic, Book 1 of Arcane Ascension, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2017 by Andrew Rowe. Production copyright 2017 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.